I'm Linda von Talbot for BizNews, and we have recently received a letter from Simon Maritz. He's the founder of Fine Fragrance Collection, a perfume company, in which he wrote that the media has not picked up on the resilience and ingenuity of the production capacity of South African businesses, despite the severe load shedding in the country. Well, I have Simon in the business studio. Hi and welcome. Simon, what have you noticed and what do you think the media has not picked up about South African companies' resilience?
First of all, thank you for having me. I think it was something that the media may have missed in South Africa. I mean, we run a business. We've been very, very fortunate in our business. I started a business 8 years ago in my garage, and we've built this business to where we do currently around about 500,000 to 600,000 units of perfume a month. And going into the future, from next month, we'll probably move into 1 million, 2 million units a month. So we are by volume probably the biggest perfume business in the country. In November last year, in October actually, when the stage 6 load shedding hit us, we were advised by our companies that make the plastic bottles for us, we pack the perfume into plastic bottles, that our production capacity would drop by half, because you're in the situation where stage 6 would bring 10 hours of no electricity a day. But at the same time, when you're running production, you have to shut down the machines before the electricity is turned off, and then you have to turn them on again. So you've got a 15-minute window on either side. So all of a sudden, you're starting to get into 12 hours a day of no electricity and no production. And so by implication, your volume drops by half. And there was nothing we could do. And we asked the company that we buy the bottles from what was the future. And at the time, I said to my business partner, this has dire consequences for South Africa, because I can't believe that our company that supplies us with the plastic bottles is only phoning us and telling us that our production is going to drop by half. It must be everything. And if that happens, what will happen on the supermarket shelves in a very short period of time? Because the inventory in the system is just not sufficient to hold it for long enough. We saw what happened at the outset of COVID. The shelves get emptied in a couple of days when people see that there's a potential a lack of goods on the shelf. Yeah. And so we were watching this to see what would happen. And over a period of time, 6 weeks went by, and we saw zero, absolutely zero stock shortages on the shelves. Then what happened to us, we then linked it back. Then the guys that make the plastic bottles for us said, sorry, we've put in a 2.4 megawatt generator into the plants, so we now go back up to full production. And that then made me realize every South African company that does mass production for the consumer must be solving the problem this way. That ultimately the electricity crisis in the production sector of our economy is being handled somehow, because otherwise we would be selling half the bottles that we would normally sell. And so it was a really interesting story. I thought the resilience of Business South Africa is really something to be commended. We're making another plan. And the adaptiveness was very quick.
So don't you think they're just importing those bottles?
So you can't. If you think about it in the consumer economy, everything comes in a packet. It's either glass, tin, plastic, or paper. Everything comes in a packet. And every one of those packaging, it requires massive amount of heat to make it. And so by implication, you need massive amount of electricity. Now, just for a moment, let's think about something like 2-liter milk containers. You can't be shipping those from China. It's cost prohibitive. You're shipping air. A 40-foot container, how much are you going to put inside the container? You're just not going to put in enough milk cartons. You'd have to send a fleet of ships. I mean, it's just as simple as that. So the problem has been solved locally. You cannot solve a packaging problem externally. Of course, there are some things like aluminium tins and that are manufactured offshore. When we used to do glass bottles, perfume bottles, those were manufactured in India and in China. They don't manufacture them here. But packaging, the plastic packaging particularly, is something you have to make locally. It needs massive amount of heat, massive amount of energy. That problem has been solved. Otherwise, and I may be wrong here, but when I go to my supermarket shelves, I see absolutely no evidence of shortages on the shelf. Zero. Nothing.
So is your production back to where it was?
Well, with us it is. I can certainly say with us it is. We're back to where we were before. So the company where we buy the plastic bottles from us, as I say, has put in these generators, and we're back to where we were. I'm assuming this must have happened to everybody. Otherwise, there would be shortages on the shelf.
In this climate at the moment, is it possible to grow a business?
Well, we have. I mean, we've been extremely lucky. The perfume industry is an interesting industry just in its nature. I have some thoughts with regards to how we ended here. We sell a generic product of an original that on average sells for 1,500 Rand in the marketplace. We sell that same product for 60 Rand. So we're talking about 4% of its value. By implication, when you do that, and we are the ones that have come into the market at a price point that we think is just unbeatable to anybody else. And so we have seen massive growth. I mean, I'll give you an idea. In June last year, we did 85,000 units. In November last year, we did 445,000. We were doubling almost every month. So to answer your question, you can if you've got the right product. But it's not a one-size-fits-all. You know, somebody asked me once, you know, so can you give me an idea of what you think a response would be on a direct marketing campaign? And I asked my brother that, and he said something interesting to me. He said, if you're selling a Rand for 50 cents, 100% response. Sell a Rand for 2 Rand, zero response. So you have to take into account the product. The product has to have merit for the consumer, and then you can grow any business, I think.
Do you think the fact that people might be more short of money at the moment, where I come from, they constantly talk about the cost of living crisis, which South Africans are feeling more and more. Petrol is becoming more expensive. The interest rates are higher. Do you think that's why they might be turning from branded products to your, can I call it a generic product?
So I would think, yes, there's definitely a factor in there. Certainly what we've seen in the marketplace, what we've actually seen in the marketplace, I think, which is more important to us, at 1,500 Rand, you've got a product that ultimately appeals to the top-end audience. So we're talking about, you know, 10% of the population. In South Africa, you've got minimum wages sitting, what, 4,500 Rand, whatever it is. You cannot then go and spend one-third of your salary on a bottle of perfume. It's not possible. So what we have found is that when you've brought that product in at 60 Rand, which is identical to the product that's selling at 1,500 Rand without the fancy glass bottle, you start getting consumers from the bottom end that are coming in that have never had the luxury of smelling nice before. Our growth is coming from people that weren't playing before rather than people that are swapping from 1,500 Rand to 60 Rand. Because when you go from 1,500 Rand to 60 Rand, you know, there's an Afrikaans saying, goedkoop is duurkoop. People just cannot believe you that you can go from 1,500 Rand to 60 Rand and it can be the same product. That's just, it's not possible. It's never been done, can't be done. So there's a disbelief at the top end of the market. At the bottom of their market, the people are coming in, finding the product works, and then using it. So I think, yes, I think the economy is affecting, there's no doubt the economy is affecting people. But I would say that we've experienced our growth from people coming in from the bottom end into a product they couldn't afford before.
Let's just talk about your product, because it is somewhat controversial. And you said you were basically at some stage kicked out of some of the big shopping centers.
Yes.
Because you are, what, competition for the big brands, or you are selling a generic product and they might say this is formula theft that you are committing. Just tell us about the controversy.
Let me take you to the beginning of the process. So I think if we start at the beginning of the process, it's an interesting one. Perfume is made by mixing a concentrate known as perfume oil with alcohol. That's how everybody does it, whether it's us or the originals, whoever it is. The concentrate, to a large degree, is made by companies that most consumers haven't heard of. The big ones in the world are Givaudan, Firmenich, IFF, and Symrise. These are what we would know as flavor and fragrance houses. These are the guys that actually make the concentrate for the brands. Let's take a product that we know, 1 million for the point of this conversation. They sell all the concentrate to Puig. Puig buys it to a Spanish company. They buy the concentrate of the 1 million. These self-same companies come to the smell-alike industry like me and sell the copy oil to me, the smell-alike oil, and tell me that this oil smells exactly the same as the 1 million. So when we talk about where does this dilemma start, I would not have a business if I was not able to get the concentrate. So we started that point. We started source. At source, this product is being vended, and they tell you this smells like this. It's not like a secret. They don't give you the formula and say, oh, you must go and test on your own. They'll tell you this smells like this. This one smells like this well-known brand. And so we start from there, and we go from there. So we haven't stolen anything. I go along and I buy a product legitimately, in some cases, from some of the companies that make for the originals. I bought from them, and I mix it with alcohol and do that. There's no theft here. Anybody that thinks there's theft is just knows nothing about the industry. There's just not that. And in my opinion, those multinationals should go and look at themselves in the mirror before they come to my door. Because it seems like the smaller guys pick up this unethical tab for something that ultimately the industry is promoting themselves. Yeah, so that's not this. So that's where it starts. Obviously, as you now come into the marketplace, in my opinion, and my opinion I think has got some merit, You go into the marketplace and you look in South Africa, and in fact, you can look globally. When we did a pricing survey in South Africa, of the top 40 designer perfumes in South Africa, in the four major retailers, Woolworths, Truworths, Fashini, and Edgars, all of those 40 products on a 50 ml bottle or on any size bottle were being sold at exactly the same price. Exactly, down to the last cent. So in other words, if something was 1,615 Rand in Edgars, it was the same in all three others. Now, in my opinion, I think that's price fixing, and that's why I reported the brands and the retailers to the Competitions Commission. When we reported to the Competitions Commission, one of the questions that was asked of us, they didn't believe us that the liquid inside a bottle of perfume costs less than 20 Rand to make. That's a fact. I'm not guessing it. That's a fact. We're in the industry. So how is it possible? Name me another product in the world that starts at a 20 Rand cost and ends up on the supermarket shelves, or the retailer shelves rather, for 1500. And of course, you won't find one.
If you look at brands, initially they spend a lot of money in R&D, research and development, and developing this product. I mean, something like Chanel No. 5 has a very long history behind it. Shouldn't that be taken into account?
So let me ask you this way. If you think there's a whole lot of research and development that goes behind designing a perfume, every day in the world, six fine fragrances are launched, over 2,000 a year. Less than three make it to their second birthday. So the reality is a hit and miss affair. Perfumers are nothing more than chemists. These guys take chemicals, mix them together, put a product out into the marketplace and hope that it works. We, like every other generic brand, are doing exactly the same as every other generic brand. Motor car parts, printer cartridges, medicine, everything else. It seems like people just seem to think that this perfume industry should be just left alone. That they should carry on, in my opinion, ripping off the consumer at 1500 Rand for a product that costs 20 Rand to make. And nobody should ever rock that boat. That's how it shall be. It has always been so, and it shall be so into the future. Not on my watch. I will make sure that perfume becomes available to every single person on the planet that can afford 60 Rand for a bottle of perfume. Because in my opinion, these brands have been nothing more than ripping off the consumer for a product that costs 20 Rand to make. And that is unfair. I will not stand by it. And we will make a generic product like every other generic product in the marketplace and make it available to the consumer.
When you talk about generic medicine, that's when a patent has expired. Then okay. You can make it cheaply. You know, how does that differ from perfume?
So let's go back to the beginning source. These companies, multinational companies who make the perfume well for a particular brand, come and tell us it smells the same and is the same as the one that they're selling to the brand. That's what they tell us. So we don't know because we don't know what the formulation is. But we went one step further because we do think that we're a generic. So what we did, we took a full-page advert in the Sunday Times and we had an open letter to the industry. And what we asked them in the industry, we said to them, we don't know. We're not clever enough. We don't know how it all works in your industry. We think that our formulations are a generic, that they're identical. And we published them on our website. You can go to our website and find our formulations. Okay? We think our perfumes last longer than yours because we dose at a higher level. We dose at 35%. We've done the research on that. We know that their average is 20. So our perfumes will last longer on the skin, more concentrate in the bottle. And here are the costs. We revealed our cost of all the liquids inside our perfume bottles. We published it. It says, here you go. That's what it is. And we asked the industry, if you can come back and prove us wrong on any of these points, we will donate 100,000 to charity. Do you know how many of the brands came back to us? Zero. Not one. We still donated the 100,000 Rand to charity. Why is everybody hiding in the dark here? Here is this guy that started a little business in the back streets of Olivedale in South Africa and is taking on these big brands and is calling them out, and there's no pushback from them? Really? If I was lying, my great-great-grandchildren would have to pay off the legal fees.
Yeah, but you know they're selling a brand. It's not about the cost of manufacturing that Louis Vuitton handbag.
Okay, so let me ask you this question. I'll turn it on you this way. Would it be fair if all the chocolate manufacturers got together with all the supermarkets tomorrow and said, from tomorrow, all chocolate will sell at 100 Rand a slab? That's the new price. And by the way, we're going to put a name on it that's a brand. And it's going to be really nice chocolate. And we're really going to love it, okay? But it's 100 Rand a brand. 100 Rand, when we know that the chocolate costs, say, 5 Rand to make. Brands are built because they have an intrinsic value. What intrinsic value are we buying here? I'm not saying you shouldn't go and buy your Louis Vuitton perfume, Chanel perfume, whatever it is. I'm not saying that for a moment. I'm just saying there should be an alternative given to the customer, as it is in all other products, that the customer should have the right and the knowledge to make the choice at point of purchase which one they want. Do they want their 10 Rand liquid in a fancy, worthless, throwaway bottle? No problem. Buy it. Or do they want it in a plastic functional bottle at 60 Rand? Same stuff inside.
Simon, I think we can go on all day about this. He's very passionate about it. Very interesting to hear your views.
Linda, if I could just say one last thing, and I think this is the important thing. When we were pushed out of the distribution channel, we had to look for an alternate distribution channel. A bottle of perfume cost 22 Rand to make. So what we did, we set up an agent business, a direct selling business, where anybody can come to us. They buy what we call a starter pack at 60 bottles of perfume so that we don't get the bridge between retail and wholesale. And they can then go and sell it to their community, whatever it is. Just to put this in perspective, since we launched this on the 25th of September, we have sold over 1 million bottles of perfume to the agent business who then distributed it on. Of our reorders, of our orders, over 70% of our orders have been reorders. That means that people have bought the starter pack and gone and sold it. If we get right what we're anticipating to do and we sell 2 million bottles of perfume next year, we will put 720 million rand into the hands of the not so rich in South Africa. That is something that I think is an amazing thing for us. For me, that actually has become the raison d'etre of our business. I think poverty is the greatest scourge on humanity. If we can play a part in alleviating poverty in any way, I think that far more than getting a bottle of perfume into every adult's hand. I think if we can try and alleviate some of the poverty out there in South Africa and then globally, I'll die a happy man.
So this has been since September. How many of these agents do you have?
So last I looked, it was about 6,000 that have bought the starter pack from us. And I can't tell you how many of those are reorders. What I can tell you is what the reorder level has been. I mean, anybody that's listening to this, it costs 22 Rand to make a bottle of perfume. If you can beat me at it, please go ahead and do it. All the recipes on my website, everything's there, all open source. Be at it, boys and girls. Do whatever you want. We think that we are more efficient than anybody else in the industry. We're at 22 Rand for it costs us to make a bottle of perfume. We sell it at 30, and then they on sell it for 60. In the stores that we still in, our retail stores, we sell it for 60. But they can sell it at any price they can get. That's what the free market system is all about. And so the 1 million bottles that we've sold already, that's 3 million Rand that we've pumped into the hands of the not so rich in the last 3 months. Linda, we started a business in my garage. We're the luckiest people on the planet, really. I mean, how did I end here? I have no idea, but I'm grateful and I'm glad that we can perhaps play a part in contributing to the SA economy and then the global economy.
Simon Moritz, lovely speaking to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Thank you.